Unbelievable. It's only 4 days until Christmas. I don't know where all this year went. It's just like gone. And, you know, we're just going to be able to take time and start to celebrate the Lord and our Savior, Jesus, from, you know, for being born in with a virgin. I know there's been a lot of argument on whether Jesus was born of a virgin or not. And reality is, if Jesus had not been born of a virgin, he would have been born by a man. But a man has a seed of sin. So the fact is, he would have had a sin nature. But with God being born in a virgin, he was not of a sin nature. So we're doing a good thing there, and it's making a difference. So we just praise the Lord. So then we took and we just want to let you know that we know this is not the day that he was born. As Rebecca said, there was a lot more about Christmas than what we discuss and talk all the time, but we understand what Christmas was, why it was, and how it became. And even though it's not his birthday, this is the day that the world celebrates it, so we just decided to celebrate this same time. And we've had people here, and they've been disgusted with our tree and all the decorations and everything, and we just kind of sit here and say, you know, I'm not here to sell, you know, to worship the tree. I'm not here to worship the nativity scene. That's not it. That's just a remembrance of what's happened in the past. And there was a time when I first started this ministry up, and Christmas was coming, and I said, Lord, I don't want to do anything because I don't know what to do for Christmas. I said, we'll just go look at some of these other pageants in different churches. You know, we won't have to worry about it. It's like one of those situations. And there's plenty of them out there because we're not going to have anything. He says, I want you to have something. I says, oh, what am I going to do? And he says, well, I want you to tell him, just like what has been said already. He says, but he said it in this way. Would you want a baby rattle for your Christmas present today? How about some Pampers? Maybe a baby bottle. Some formula. Is that what you want? No. But see, we do that with Jesus sometimes. In this season, we just want to just kind of give him a little bit of whatever because, you know, we're thinking of, instead of the remembrance. He says, but tell him, he says, I am a king sitting on my throne. And I started thinking about that, and I said, Father, how in the world are you going to do that, just as it's been said already? I says, what are we supposed to bring as a gift? And I got to realize then there's only one thing that we can do is bring our praise and our worships to the Father. That's the way we bring our gifts. We bring ourselves holy, set apart, totally, you know, praying and being with the Lord, and that's where it's at. And that's why, you know, it was interesting. I've been that way ever since. Is whenever we get to this time period, yes, we have our trees, we have our nativity scenes, we have all the wreaths, we have decorations. It means nothing. And what it is the heart. It's all about your heart. It's all about the love of God. It's all about what God did for us to restore us back to original and what we wanted to do. And he had to send his son to do that. And so we need to celebrate the love of God. And we just praise God that we go through this because Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law. And I'm learning more and more about the curse of the law, what he redeemed us from, because I'm 67 years old, 76 years old. I'm trying to cheat myself here a little bit. 76 years old. And I've been in church all my life. And I've never really heard a true redemption service, teaching whatsoever on redemption until I was in the hospital. And when we went on our vacation, it was a tough one to get going. I knew there was going to be some tough things going on that vacation. And I had some problems right at first, and I said, Father, I start crying out for help, praying and using the scriptures and doing the things that I know to do. And he said one thing, it's inside you. It's inside you. Everything you need is inside you. And I've known that, and I've dealt with that, and I've told people many things, I've taught many things, which would indicate the very same thing. But it all came down to one thing. I didn't have a revelation that the Lord wanted me to have. I had to learn more. And I started to hear I was going in a season of renewing my mind. Even though I knew everything that I'd gone through and all the things I've taught since 2003, I've been teaching about every Sunday, and I'm not a teacher. And I've always been able to have about 6 months worth of teaching, and then I run out, and I don't have anything to say. God's kept me going since 2003 until this last year. And then all of a sudden, we're trying to get more people in to do some teaching and grow and prosper, because this is a system that the Lord has set up and wanted us to go with. So I took and I kept going in and saying all these things and doing these things, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, we just have to figure out what's happening here. And so when I was in the hospital, I started to hear a bunch of things that I started to learn. I wouldn't have got it if I hadn't been down for a while. I'm not saying God put me down. He just used what happened to get me to where I needed to learn and understand. And I've been getting stronger and stronger in that all the time. My body's getting stronger. I am going to be up walking. I am going to be less awake. I'm going to be amazed, you know, to do these things that need to be done. There's no doubt about my mind. God said he's going to take care of us. I'm already saved. I'm already healed. I'm already delivered. So I know that that's coming. I'm still renewing my mind to prepare it to where I can accept it in such a way. It's sad. I shouldn't be this way. Being in the church all that long, I should have been learned a long time ago what it was and how it was supposed to be, but I didn't. And now I'm in a stage of renewing my mind to be able to receive the things of God, because that has to happen sometimes. A while back, just like Steve was saying, there were songs, and every once in a while a song will pop in my mind and everything else, but I really felt this one was important because it's an older song, and I'm going to have Sarah play it. If you know it, sing along with it. If you don't, that's perfectly fine. Because it's a season of celebration, of worship, but there's a reason Jesus came to this earth. And one of them was that we would have the ability to walk and to talk with the Lord. Now, I used to go to the third heaven to praise and worship. I used to see myself walking into the courtroom, into the throne room of God. And the problem is, half the time I walked in backwards because I didn't feel worthy of being there. But I was going to be there, praying that the Lord wasn't going to smash me because I was being so bad and all the things that happened in my mind, all the situations I went with. So I'd walk in there, and God always opened me with open arms. He always loved me. I didn't quite understand the whole process, even though I've been in church all these years. But it was awesome, and it was so much. And I believe in this season, you know, this might not be the song that's going to touch you. It might be the one that Steve's going. There's going to be a song that's going to start to rise up in your heart. And that song is going to get you through the tough times that are going to start to happen. They're going to keep you going. They're going to give you hope. They're going to start to help renew your mind to what God really has for you. For he's trying to restore back to you what you've lost, what you're supposed to have that he wanted to give to you that you haven't received yet. Because there's great things he wants you to have, but you haven't had them yet. And he wants to bring that forth. Sometimes we have to have our minds renewed. So if you want to just play that one, Sarah. Alone, while the dew
still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy.
Exactly what's going on. He wants to share his love with you, his blessings with you, His heart's desire for you. That's what this is all about. The celebration of the love of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but all, but shall have everlasting life. And what he did was he sent his Son back to this earth, or sent his Son to this earth to be born of a man, of a woman. That's why they became, they call him the Son of Man, Son of God. And through that process, with his life, he started to teach us about how to walk in the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God was. He started to show us actually what he was going to do. Why he came back to this earth was for restoration, to bring us back, and to restore back that everything that Adam had lost. It was amazing what was going on, but the whole process was, his whole issue was he wanted to open up the heavenlies where we have an entrance to go in and walk and talk with the Lord. God's heart is so strong, and that's what I was feeling when I was getting some tears in my eyes, was God's heart. He wants to walk and talk with you. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to sit with you. He wants to be just like what he did with Adam. Adam, he walked and he talked with him in the garden. That was his whole purpose. And if you had children and they never wanted to talk to you, it wouldn't be so good. That's what it's about. This is the season we're in, celebrating his love that he sent and gave us the ability that we can walk and talk and receive from him the greatest gift we can ever have. And in doing so, if we turn around and give back to him, the greatest gift that we've got is our life, is to serve him, is to love him, to speak with him, to move in and pray and be involved. I mean, it was amazing when I was driving in the semi. They called it my prayer closet. I'd be driving, and a lot of times people would call, and I'd have my headset on, so I wasn't holding on to the phone. And I'd be speaking and ministering to people left and right while I was on the phone. And it was awesome. It just pumped me up, because that's what I want to do, is minister to people. And then all of a sudden, I'd be a dead spot there where I wasn't talking to anybody, and I'd put the music on. And I'd put on a scripture CD. And we just sat there, and I'll tell you, it was just awesome. The first time I was going to Chicago, I was coming back from Chicago, and all of a sudden, Jesus appears in a seat right beside me. And angels first appeared all over, around my truck. And I'm thinking, whoa, what is this? And then Jesus enters in the seat. And all of a sudden, I if I look up, I can't see it, but there's a light that comes down and falls on top of me. And I'm thinking, wow. And the next thing I know, there's a voice in my mind that's saying, pray for this person, and pray for that person, and pray for that person, pray for... So we're sitting here for an hour just praying in the Holy Spirit for these different people. And after about an hour, then he just disappears. He goes back to heaven. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm worthy. You're worthy. That's why Ephesians 1 says... Paul says, he was called an apostle of God. But he says, I want to make sure that you're worthy of your calling. Are you worthy of your calling? Yes, you are worthy of your calling. If you don't feel you're worthy, and the devil's done a good job on you and beat you up to where you don't think you're worthy. And this is where it's at. In this celebration, you need to be so worthy, you need to open up your hearts and minds and start to allow the Holy Spirit to move through you and to you, and start to talk with him and be with him and understand what's going on. And that's what this whole season is about. Jesus came back to open up an avenue to where we can walk and talk with him. That song might not mean anything to anybody, but it meant a lot to the Lord, because this is what he wants. He wants to walk and to talk with you. And when we celebrate him today, that's what we want to do in this time. In this season, we need to stop and take time and start to look with what Jesus has about what God's done for us. It is time to reflect back on what God has done for us. There is another song, I'm not going to play it, but it says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. How many times have you sat lately and just sat there and say, Lord, and start to review back through what God has done for you? What is it happening? You see, there's much chaos in our lives. There's so much chaos going on. And what happens if we don't stop and start to realize what the blessings are? We're so mad. We're so upset. We got so much going wrong and everything's happening. Why? Because the enemy keeps trying to torment us and cause us problems. But the minute you start to say, okay, Lord, you know, you might even have to ask him to remind you of what the blessings are. But if you just start thinking and start asking and start praying, and God will start to bring some hope back in your life when there's things. Because I taught one time about God will make a way where there is no way. He'll always make a way out. Always make a way. He never leaves you where you're at. He always makes a way out. Why? Because he loves you so much. He wants to give you more than you can even get. That's why he sent his son here, to give back to us what was stolen from us from Adam. When, praise God, we live in the new blood covenant, the new testament, because if we do, now we're receiving back to us what God wanted from the beginning. That's my renewing of my mind. I'm getting more and more into that. It's amazing what God is doing. Due to all the pressures of this year, and there's been a lot of pressures in our lives, I'm sure there's been a lot in yours. There's a lot of things going on in our government. It looks like we've got some things that are going good, but we also have some things that aren't going as good. So I just know that, you know, God is doing some awesome and tremendous things. And it does look like the devil's reaching out and touching us, and it's going to cause more problems than what we want. But that's not always the case. Make sure, as I said, is it of God or is it of the devil? Because I had a prophecy that I'd heard, and I believe, and I still believe for today. It was last November. And it came that the bow, or the arrow, was in the bow. And when it was shot, it would come down and it would hit the heart of the evil first. And it said that the demons would be taken down to hell. In other words, the angels would literally start to pull demons out of her and take them down to hell. Then, afterwards, the angels would go back up to heaven, to your storehouse, and start pulling things out of the storehouse and bring them back down. Blessings, blessings, blessings will be coming. Blessings, unbelievable blessings will happen. That's when, if you're listening to this, there's different words out there you have to listen to make sure that when you listen to a prophet, hear what's in your spirit. If you got the Spirit of God in you, listen to what God's saying in your spirit. You're going to hear, or you're not going to believe. You're going to believe the prophet, or you're not going to. But if you hear from the Lord, yes, it's right, or no, it's not. It's amazing, because I've been listening to about three of them. I've been listening to some others, and I'm thinking, no. About three of them that I've been listening to. And they're all right in track with what I'm seeing and feeling in my spirit that's going on. And there is going to be a time of danger and trouble, and there's going to be a time of blessing. And that's what they're talking about, this time of revival. That's why I put out one time I taught on the prophet that talked about the years. And it was 2026. It's supposed to be the year of the fix. And the year of the fix is one thing. That is, he's going to come in and God's going to start to restore back to what's happening. He's going to start to bring some things up. I said, if you look what Charlie Clark's going on with, and how many people are getting saved. Youth are getting saved. Things are changing around. It's amazing. Doesn't mean it's going to keep going that way, because the enemy always tries to step in and cause problems. But I know one thing. It's a beginning of revival. And there's going to be more. I keep hearing more people talking about accepting the Lord and accepting things going on. This is a God thing that he's doing. I kept hearing one time why God hadn't come back. I mean, I've seen people set up the Bible and all the timelines, and he said, by this time, the rapture is going to happen. The church is going to be gone. Everything's going to happen. And I was saying, okay, whatever. I wasn't too worried about it. Didn't really have anything in my spirit. I said, nobody's going to know the day or the hour, so there's no way you can really project anything. And it never happened. And the next time, there's another one. It never happened. And next time, I heard another one. It never happened. And I said, okay. And so I was praying one time, and I said, Lord, what's happening? And God just says, I'm not sending my son back until this church is without spot or wrinkle. Now, it took me a long time to figure out wrinkle. I hadn't heard about spot. Spot, sin, iniquities. Okay? So that means, yes, you know, Jesus took care of that. But at the same time, we still are making our own decisions and choices if we're going to continue to sin, or we're going to follow and get more into the Spirit and not sin. I won't go down that story today, but the whole process is I didn't know about wrinkles. I mean, about spot, or, you know, without spot or rim wrinkle. So I went and looked up in the concordance, and it said blood. And I'm thinking, what's blood have to do with it? Blood came and started to talk. If you look at, if your skin doesn't get blood, what happens? It starts to wrinkle. And what I started to pray about it and start seeking the Lord, and he finally came down, and I realized what's happening. When the body starts to unify, and there's not division amongst the body, that's when he's going to send a son down. That's what's coming in the next few years. There's going to be a unity. There's not going to be a division between everybody like there is today. You know, one of the biggest things I was reading, and is 1 Corinthians, and it said, don't you know, and this is a New Living Testament, it was the middle of the night, and the Holy Spirit was on me. He says, don't you, that's not in my notes. He says, don't you know that you are all the temple of the Holy Spirit? King James says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's plural, you are. But when the New Living Testament came in, it says, you all are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says, God will ruin anyone that ruins this temple. When all of a sudden I heard in the Spirit, denominations. Every denomination is destroying the body of Christ. There is no divisions in the body. If you go to Ephesians, there's only one God, one Spirit, one Lord, one hope of your calling, one of, you know, your gifting and your calling. It's only one. But why are we so divided? See, the world looks at, well, we got so much division, we got so many denominations, we have so many doctrines. And the Lord is going to change that. That's what's coming up. A unity is going to come in, and people are going to start to work in unity and flow in the unity, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to get so strong, we'll become one. In Ephesians 4, that's what this church is all about, Ephesians 4. And it says in verse 3, be unified in the Spirit. If you're not unified in the Spirit, you got a problem, because there's only one Spirit. And if you're unified in the Spirit, you're going to hear and you're going to see. Everybody has a gift. That's why we see differently. That's why we understand differently. That's what the Lord set up when he went to heaven. He set up those gifts. Each one of us, once we figure out our gifting and work together in unity, will be unified by the Spirit. And you'll be amazed what you can achieve and what you do. It's awesome. And this is a season of celebration and what God's doing, and what he's restoring and bringing back. But through this time of this year, you'll see all these things start to happen. Stop and count your blessings in the middle of it. You know, you blow up, you go crazy, you yell at something, or because of something's mad, stop and see what your blessings are. If you want to change your life, that'll change you. Stop and see what the blessing is. And there's no greater love than any man that lay down his life for another. And think about how much greater God is because he laid his son down for us. So his son's life was put on the line. I know that Jesus himself came down because he knew what had to be done. He didn't want to because he got by the cup. He said, Lord, take this away from me. He knew exactly what's going to happen. Most people couldn't make it, but that's why the blood of Jesus had to wash and atone us of our sins. There was a point in which, a while back here, I was talking to somebody about some problems in their lives. And the Lord said, I want you to teach my people I have a plan for them. And what his plan was from the beginning, before the earth was created, he says, I had a plan. Ephesians 1:3, if you want to put that up there. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing and with the heavenly realms, because he was united, because we are united with Christ. Next one. And before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now, okay, you want to read that, dear?
God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure.
Okay, this is where everything started from. Before the whole earth was created, he had a plan, he knew exactly what's going on, and he said, I want you to tell my people, in your life, his plan was he had perfect parents, had perfect siblings, he had a perfect job, had a perfect life, he had it all planned out for you, but sin entered in. Sin is division. It divides people from God. And that's what happened. When we put Lucifer out there, he sinned against, because he was a father of iniquity. There was no iniquity, no sin found in him when he came to earth. It wasn't until he was here. Pride came in him, and as soon as pride came in, boom, he immediately decided to do better. He's better than God, and he tried to overcome God, and that's where all this evil came from, right there. It happened. And then all of a sudden, God kicked him out of the earth, put him down in hell, and then Adam and Eve came. He made his children in his image. He blew into his nostrils, and he gave him the Spirit of God, his Spirit, into Adam. He then took and he put in a soul. A soul is a part of his life, a part of the Spirit, which becomes your living soul, because it makes you living. It's your mind, your will, and your emotion. That's the soul. That's when Adam sinned, he lost the Spirit of God, which left and went back to heaven. But he still was alive. He didn't die. I kept wondering, because it's his soul. That's the Spirit that's in you, that's driving you. It's very simple and basic. But the reality is, that's where it came from. Again, Adam sinned and broke God's plan. This is what it's about. God, you have to realize, the Bible is all about a king and a kingdom. When God, being a king, created the whole earth, he put kingdom principles all over the place. Why do you think Jesus came down and started speaking about kingdom? You know, we need to You know, the kingdom is this, the kingdom is that. He started teaching the kingdom. Why does Matthew 6:33 say, "Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness"? A kingdom is an understanding of kingdom principles. Without kingdom principles, there's a lot of things you'll never understand. That's why religion came up. Religion has nothing to do with kingdom. Religion is opposite of kingdom. And that's what gives us a problem. That's why people live in religion. Religion is against kingdom. It is a spirit. And the spirit gets people so wrapped up. That's why there's so many divisions. If we're all living in the kingdom, we'd all be in the spirit, all agreeing with one another, saying this is the way it is, that's the way it is. Then that's what's happening. And that's why the fight continues to go on. But what happened was God sent his son Jesus back. And what he did when he sent it back, he took care and he broke the sin. The curse. The curse was when Adam sinned, he cursed Adam and Eve. And immediately now, when Jesus came and he died on the cross, he not only washed our sins away, paid for our sins, but he did one other thing. He restored us back to before Adam sinned. There is no sin in our lives. That's why I think it's in Romans. It talks about you do not sin. If you've asked Jesus Christ in your life, you do not sin. Because you're a new creation, totally restored back what God wanted you to do. Because the Spirit of God, when you ask Jesus Christ in your life, immediately the Holy Spirit comes in and it sits inside your soul, and immediately you are now, God is inside you. You have the same authority and power that Jesus had. He gave it to you through the kingdom of God. In fact, if you look at the kingdom of God and you start to get a revelation of it, the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. And that's what God was doing through Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because of Jesus came. He destroyed the sin. He opened up us into the kingdom of God. He redeemed us from the curse. And I'll tell you, when you start to understand that, I'm thinking, wow, it is completely different than I had ever understood or was told. And probably some of you know more than I do about this. This is why I'm renewing my mind. But Jesus was sent to the earth to explain and get people ready for the restoration that Adam lost. Jesus was around teaching, you know, Jesus went around teaching all about the kingdom of God, for this is what Adam lost when he died. Adam was had all power and authority. Jesus is a spirit, and God blew his, you know, what? Anyway, I'm having more problems than the man of the moon today, but that's because the enemy is trying to cause some issues in me, and I'm not going to let it happen. I want you to go to Ephesians 1:9. Now this is God's plan. I want to read that there. 9, 10, 11.
God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth.
Yes.
Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance. He makes everything work out according to his plan. Is that 12?
No. The thing is, if you get a revelation of this, if you get a real revelation, you'll be amazed. We're sitting here totally restored, but God's wanting more in our life because we don't have revelation. We don't have revelation. We don't have the revelation that he wants for us. The enemy has done such a good job of destroying everything in our lives, everything around us, things that we're thinking about, because we don't have the revelation. But the revelation is exactly this. He wants you, and it says in 3, He wants you blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. He says, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Are you getting every spiritual blessing that you're supposed to have? Are you so blessed that you're going to overflow and bless so many other people? That's what God wants for you. That's this season. He's destroyed the works of the devil. He sent his son to destroy it so that you can be so blessed. That's what we need to celebrate. We're so blessed, we don't even realize how blessed we are. We aren't walking in the blessings that we need to be walking in. We're walking in more curses than we are in the blessings. And that's what the Lord's trying to get through and teach us and understand us what's going on. Because, see, when you get down to it, what happens if you're going to have, you know, the blessing of Abraham, and through Jesus Christ being hung on the tree, we are to receive the blessing of Abraham. And with the blessing of Abraham is no sickness, no poverty, and everlasting life. When you get no sickness, no poverty, and everlasting life, then you're walking in the blessing of Abraham, and you are not walking it if you're not there yet. You have not received the plan of God for your life. Because his plan was to bless you. Make you, I mean, he didn't want to put sickness and disease on you. Sin caused that to happen. And this is where it comes down to. And that's what we need to celebrate. God wants us to do that. Because now if you go back to 10. Okay, and this is the plan. At the right time, he, which is God, will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Now, next one. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we will receive an inheritance from God that he's chosen us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. What was his plan before earth? He wanted you so blessed. He didn't want you sick. He didn't want you impoverished. And he wanted to give you everlasting life. You're not supposed to die. It wasn't until sin came in that it caused death. He never caused you to death. Adam was never supposed to die. But sin caused him to die. Jesus restored us from that sin, from the death. We now have eternal life. Yes, our body's going to die. Because we have a sinful, it's from the world, which is sinful. But it will be resurrected as a normal body, a glorified body, and will live forever. That's our blessing. That's what he wants to do. But this is the whole thing about, and the Lord said this is what this is all about, the celebration, is to complete his plan for your life. To complete his plan for your life. He's not happy until you are where he can complete his plan of making you happy, making you, you know, without any sickness and disease, without any financial problems, being able to bless others, to love one another, to walk in unity, to walk in love, to be just like what Jesus, you know, an example of walking with Jesus. That's what this is about. This is a celebration. You know, you might see, well, you're pretty tough and hard and talking about this thing, but it's a point at which God wants to walk and to talk with you. It's no different than what he did with Adam. He came and he walked and he talked with him. Are you willing to walk and talk with him? Are you serious to be with God in such a way? Yes, there's issues going on in Israel. Yes, there's horrible things that are happening. But the fact is, God knows that, and he's going to resolve those issues. He's God. He's not going to. Look what he did. He took Israel out of Egypt. In the right timing, he will go in and he will defend his people. He'll take care of those. Until then, we keep praying. We keep giving God glory. We start binding the spirits and breaking down things that are going on that we have in the spiritual realm. And we do what we can do. And we just ask God to continue to bless them, and keep things going, because we know that God's got it all figured out. But see, there's also a hardness in their hearts. That hardness in their hearts is because they rejected Jesus way back when. So when they start to receive Jesus, that's what they need. They need to get the Messiah in there. They need to accept Jesus and start to move around and do what's happening. I believe there's a revival starting to happen over there as well, where more people are getting to know Jesus, understanding. I know in the Arab nations, there are people that are being visitations of the Lord, and they're giving their lives to Christ. They're changing. See, God is moving tremendously. This is a season that the power of the Holy Spirit's going to come down, and he's going to start to change things that we can't, because it's so far out of kilter. There's no way that we can do it. He needs to come in and take over and start to move, and that's what's going to happen. Watch what God's going to do. He's going to bring in blessings. He's going to bring in health. He's going to, you know, and if we accept Jesus Christ as our life, we start to have the fullness in us, and if we start to realize who we are in Christ, this is this next year, this is the whole, you know, the word that we're going to have for next year is, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know who you are in Christ? Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, you're missing out on the plan of God. You're missing out on what God really wants to do for you. You're missing out on how much you can be used by God. You're missing out on being able to go and to talk and walk and be with the Lord. You know, and it's amazing what can happen. There's some great things coming, great things happening. So, Father, we just come before you. We thank you for this season. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the plan that you made for us. And we thank you that you're going to change and do some great and magnificent things in this world. They're going to see that you are God, and many will turn to you, and we will become a body without spot and wrinkle. And you will then at that point say, Son, go get your bride. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to, it's in your time, it's in your understanding, and we just praise you and thank you for the plan that you have for us. I pray that everybody's plan that you have for them will be complete, and they will do walk in it, and health and wholeness will happen, and we just give you full glory, honor, and praise in all things. Amen.